Hello and welcome. My name is Nesreen Hussain. Since 2016, I have been a research associate, interviewer, and video editor for the Indigenous Environmental Justice Project. In 2017, I graduated from the Master's in Environmental Studies program at York University, where I focused my research on the significance of water through Anishinaabeg and holistic worldview. Today, I continue to work with the IEJ project in collaboration with Water Allies, a research hub for diverse academics and communities to connect on water issues based out of University of Toronto St. George campus. Today, you will be listening to the impacts of climate change on health and well-being of the peoples of Whitefish River First Nation Ontario by Mahisha Sreetharan. Mahisha's work focuses on climate change justice and community organizing, culminating impacts of climate change on the Whitefish River First Nation community in Ontario. Whitefish River First Nation is an Anishinaabe community located on the northern shores of Georgian Bay in Lake Huron in the Great Lakes ecosystem of Ontario. This research study aims to address how a First Nations community's health and well-being is being impacted by climate change. Indigenous research methods and environmental justice concepts were used to frame this research study. Mahisha is a research assistant with York University with a focus on climate change and Indigenous environmental justice. Mahisha graduated from the Master in Environmental Studies program in 2018. She also holds a Bachelor's in Environmental Geography and Health Studies.
Hi everyone, my name is Mahisha Sreetharan. So for my research, I looked at climate change in a particular community in Ontario, the Whitefish River First Nation. I was interested in climate change and environmental justice work, but I wasn't sure what to focus my research on, so I approached Professor Deborah McGregor, and she told me to start with looking at how climate change is impacting Indigenous communities in Canada, specifically around the Great Lakes region. And when I looked at any possible research around that, there was very little. A lot of research in Canada tends to focus on the north, and this map, it's a bit outdated, but it just shows where Indigenous communities are located across Canada. And a lot of them are, you know, in places that are south of the Arctic Circle. So this was a research gap that was identified, and I wanted to look at how climate change is impacting a community that is around the Great Lakes region. So Professor Deborah McGregor connected me with Leslie McGregor from her community. And so this is Whitefish River First Nation. For anyone who doesn't know, it's located on Birch Island off the shores of Georgian Bay, close to Manitoulin Island. So for me, I'm not from the community, so it was very important for me to work with Leslie because she knows about the community. It was like a check and balance. Like I could go to Professor McGregor and I can go to Leslie and make sure that the research was appropriate. So the research question is how climate change is impacting the health and well-being of Whitefish River First Nation. The population size of the community is about 456 people in 2016. And because I was working with the community for this research, I went through not only York's ethics process, but also the community's ethics process. So if anyone's looking at doing research with a community, you can look in to see if there is another ethics process that you have to go through. So the objectives of this research was to address the research gap around impacts of climate change on First Nations communities in the Great Lakes region and to understand how communities are being impacted by climate change. And through this, with discussions with community members to identify potential adaptation strategies that are suited for the needs of the community. So for the methods, what we did was we had focus groups to have discussions with community members. And then we also had key informant interviews to get more details from elders and people who live in the community and have knowledge of climate change. So we had a community group focus group of about 15 participants, and then an elders focus group with about 9 participants. And then for the key informant interviews, we had 7. And from our discussions, these are the sort of themes that came up. So we had physical impacts, so impacts to the environment, how climate change was impacting their health and well-being, how it was impacting the water, and how it was impacting traditional foods and hunting, and then finally, what the community thought would be beneficial for them to address climate change. So for the physical impacts, people spoke about more extreme weather, unpredictability of storms and seasons. So people thought the summers were getting hotter and the winters were shorter and warmer. There's changes to the ice. It was frozen for shorter periods of times and it was freezing later in the winter season, warmer summers and winters, and lack of smaller rodents. And they were seeing more deer, so less rabbits and stuff like that. For the human health and well-being, people spoke about increase in allergies, asthma, and swimmer's itch. So when they go swimming in the summer, the kids would come out having swimmer's itch. Concern for impact on future generations, that was something that came up a lot. And people were not only concerned about their own community, but communities around them, other Indigenous communities, and how their future generations were going to cope with the changes. The historical impact of colonialism and assimilation policies on the community. So the erosion of culture, not being able to pass down the knowledge to the youth, and how are they going to know how to adapt to climate change. And concern for future health problems, including Lyme disease. So the previous presentation, you mentioned ticks, so that was something that was a huge concern as well, because they knew that in the news, in Toronto, we are seeing ticks that are clearing Lyme disease in like Rouge Park. So they were concerned that with warmer temperatures, they're going to just move further north, and Lyme disease was going to be something that was a issue. Impacts to water, so algae blooms, invasive species impacting native species and the water, so changes to climate, to water levels. When I went, they were talking about how in previous years it was decreased water levels, and when I went in 2017, and that's when we had the Toronto Islands first flood, so they were seeing an increased water levels. So they were talking about that changes. Tourism and water quality. So Manitoulin Island is quite popular for cottagers, and there's a lot of concern related to that, and concern for future impact on water with climate change and global demand for water. So even in the community, they were concerned about how, even though Canada is rich in water, there is a global demand for water, and with climate change, it is expected to be something that is of concern. So that was something that was talked about in the community. Traditional foods and hunting. So blueberries was something that was mentioned quite a lot. It was quite significant to the community because a lot of them have grown up with people collecting blueberries in their community. Something that was concerned was that it was getting harder to find blueberries in their community, like closer, so they had to go further and further out. And an elder mentioned that there was less people that had actually gone out and started picking blueberries. So there's only a few elders that still continue to do it. Maple syrup harvest and impacting traditional ecological knowledge of when to harvest due to weather fluctuations. So because they had relied on their traditional knowledge of when it was appropriate to go collect maple syrup, with changing temperatures and the climate, what they were noticing is that that was changing. So sometimes, some winters, the sap would come early or it would come later depending on when the snow was thawing. So that was something that they brought up as concern. And decreased abundance of rodents and smaller animals. So there's increase in deer population. So I heard from a few elders, they were upset that they hadn't seen a lot of rabbits and rodents that they used to see when they were going out to go hunting. and less fish. So based on my discussions with them, the things that they spoke about wanting to see in terms of climate change action and changes within the community is they wanted to connect youth to nature from a young age. They saw the importance of passing on traditional knowledge and sharing stories about how they grew up and what they were used to seeing, and also collaborating with stakeholders and neighboring groups. Manitoulin is quite connected to Whitefish River First Nation. There's a lot of communities around it, so they wanted to work with the other communities to address climate change issues, to address tourism within the area, which they couldn't do without having them at the table as well, and building greater awareness within the community about climate change issues. During the community focus group, this was something that came up because some of the people who weren't aware of climate change issues were finally being part of the discussion, and people were talking about bringing in changes like reducing plastic use within the community. And during our focus group, we had food that was being served, and it was on plastic utensils and plastic plates. So they were talking about, you know, even like something as simple as this could make a huge difference within the community. Finally, fostering changes within the community to reduce their own emissions. So yeah, so my experience with working with the community was something where I got to not only apply what I had learned in a classroom setting. It's one thing to learn about climate change and issues, you know, sitting at a desk, but it's a completely different environment when you go out and speak to community members. And thanks to Professor Deborah McGregor, I got to get out of my comfort zone, go into a community that I hadn't been to before. It's probably the furthest north I've been from Ottawa. So it was quite the experience. So anyone who's considering doing environmental justice work for the research project, I highly recommend it. Just make sure you have a good supervisor and someone who knows how to connect you. Thank you.
Mahisha's research demonstrated the importance of local community knowledge and participation in understanding climate change impacts, and that in order to address the knowledge gap that exists on how climate change will affect Indigenous communities in the Great Lakes region, further research must be conducted that is rooted within these communities with respect to their traditions and decision-making. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please stay tuned for more podcasts recorded at the IEJ Fall 2019 Symposium at York University. Miigwech.